Hi, I'm Michael Irwin, and I used to be time poor and overworked, but I found a way out. And over the last 6 years, I have helped hundreds of people to cut 5 and 10, even 20 hours off their work week and still be able to achieve well at work so they could get a pay rise. In this free audio today, I'm going to cover how your mind sets you up for time management failure, how 21st century time management must be different from things you might have already know and why it must be different. I'm going to talk about time protection and what not to do. And then I'm going to introduce 13 steps that you need to do in order to have an effective 21st century time management system. Briefly at the end, I will introduce the 7 secrets to cut 6.5 hours off your work week and get a pay rise at the same time. So let's firstly have a look. How does your mind set you up for time management failure? Today is a world where there is so much going on and there are massive amounts of information. And what this means is there is way too many things that we think that we should or could do. Simply far too many for us to fit in the time that's available. Now, unfortunately, the way that our mind works is that it collects up information along the way. So all the things that we watch on television, all the things that we hear on the radio, all the things that we see on the internet, all of the people that talk to us, all of the things that we see around our work office, they all give us an impression of tasks for us to do. It's all about collecting little ideas. Oh yeah, that's a good idea. I must try that. Oh yes, I learned about that. Probably should try that as well. Or I must get back to so-and-so. Or there's phone calls that continue to ask you questions or create more work for you to do. Even simple things as your boss or your colleagues know that you get things done so that they continue to load you up with work. And next thing you know, you've got a huge amount of work on. Now, what happens with your mind is that it collects all of these things, all of the things that you think that you should do. And today, that is so many things that you create this great, huge, long list. Now, mostly that's held in your brain, in your subconscious and your conscious brain. So you're not necessarily aware all at once of the huge amount of things that you have on, but your mind still grabs hold of them and keeps them, so you have this inbuilt expectation that someday you will get to them. The reality is that in today's world, there are just way too many things, so you will not get to most of the tasks that you have in your mind. And if you've ever kept a to-do list where you have detailed everything that you think that you would like to get done, you will recognize that that to-do list gets very long, very, very quickly. It quickly turns into 2 and 3 pages, and you quite clearly see that it keeps growing before you get a chance to get everything done. Many of my clients talk about the fact that their to-do list actually creates stress and overwhelm. I get a lot of feedback where people tell me that the to-do list is one of the reasons why they give up trying to have any sort of time management techniques, because it just doesn't work for them. It feels overwhelming, and it certainly doesn't help them to be more productive as they see this great, huge, long list. Well, essentially, your mind has got that list as well. It's just inside your brain, and you're building up this expectation that you should get all of these things done. And even when you're not aware of exactly how long that list is, it's one of the reasons why you feel constantly stressed and pressured and rushing to try and get so many things done. So one of the key things that we need to do in the 21st century, if we're going to be effective and get control of our time, is to change our mindset and recognize that there is a whole lot of things that we are not going to get done, and let that go and let that be, so that we can appropriately focus on the things that will get done. So in a lot of ways, 21st century time management is about what not to do. It's about being able to let go of all of those things that will not get done and happily focusing on the very small number of things that will get done that will add some satisfaction and enjoyment to your life. And at work, they're the key things that will give you the big outcomes, and that's why you will look very productive at work and you will stand out as being someone who achieves key results. So the change in the mindset must be to one where you realize you will not get everything done, you let go of all of those little ideas, tasks, and things that you should or could do, recognizing that as all of those inputs come up and those little ideas come into your head, all of those requests come through the email or the phone, that you know you will not get the majority of them done. That's the mindset you've now taken on board, and you set yourself up for making sure that you protect your time to get the things done that is most important. And as we go into the video program that you will be getting, I'll show you how to identify what are the things that are most important for you. Now, 21st century time management, as I've said to you, you need your time management mindset, which recognizes that we need to let a lot of things go. Let me just give you a quick history of what's happened in terms of time management tools and techniques. The concept of time management at work really started about 100 years ago. And essentially, the idea was then to create some sort of list so that we can get a bit of focus on what our top priorities were. And we would do that on a daily basis. Now, that sounds okay, and it worked really well at the time. But have a think about how different life is now from 100 years ago, or 50 years ago, or even 5 or 10 years ago. Just the access to the internet, not even considering all of the different channels that we can now watch on the television, it's a massive difference in the amount of exposure to information and what's available. So initially, the concept of having a to-do list as a basis for a time management system, that might have worked. But today, it simply is not appropriate. In fact, as I mentioned before, the idea of using a to-do list usually causes people more stress and overwhelm than they do if they don't have the list. So please, throw away your to-do list. You don't need to have one. And what you want to look at now is a whole different way of approaching time management. And I'll get to having a look at those 13 steps in just a minute. Now, the time management systems have evolved over the last 20 years or so, but in my opinion and my experience, having tried a lot of them, and basically they didn't work for me back when I was in the corporate world, and I get the feedback the same time, at the same sort of feedback from all of the people that I've been speaking to, that most of the time management tools and techniques, they just don't work. None of my clients have been able to get them to work consistently. Often, they start the process and very quickly see that it's not going to work for them. And why is this the case? Why is it that so many people have tried the tools and tips and techniques that are available out there through the books and the courses and the seminars? Well, I believe that they just really haven't turned things around to recognize that 21st century time management approach that I mentioned earlier, where we've got to flip things on its head. So it's not about trying to get everything done and catch up on our to-do list. It's now about getting rid of all the things that aren't going to get done and making sure that we protect our time. You see, have a think about some of the methods from some of the time management techniques and programs. Prioritization is one of the things that is spoken about a lot. So evolving from a to-do list, you might now say, okay, how do we prioritize what's on our to-do list? Well, have you ever been through and tried to have a look at your to-do list and try and give it A, B, and C priorities? And then you sort of look at it and go, well, actually, some of those things are more important than others, I think. And so you go A1 and A2 and B1 and C1, 2, 3. And it's really confusing. It's hard work. It takes a lot of time. And for most people, it doesn't give them anywhere near the benefit of the time and input that's involved. And if you have to do that every day, every time you're setting up your list, then it's a massive amount of work and confusion, and most people drop that very, very quickly. So, unfortunately, a lot of the methods that are supposed to have helped us as we're evolving and having so much more to do, they haven't really helped. And I think this is because they still have this implied idea that we can get everything done and that we can catch up, or we can get just about everything done. And as I said, I want to flip that on its head and suggest that 80% of the things you won't get done. So now you need to focus only on that top 20%, and how are you going to work through that process. So it's very different, the 21st century time management approach that you need to take now. And you need to be able to protect your time. So what I'd like to do now is take you through 13 steps to give you a clear outline as to what you would need to do to protect your time and create an effective 21st century time management system. First step you need to do is to be able to protect your time. So the system has to have a way for you to deflect things that are going on, create that mindset of letting go so that you can focus only on the things that are most important. And the second step is that the system needs to be able to help you identify what is really, really important for you at work and in your whole life. Step number three is that it needs to be able to filter out those things that are not the really important tasks. And you need to be able to do this quite easily so that you can effectively be able to focus in on what is important and easily deflect the things that aren't important. Step number four, you need to be able to push back on anyone and anything that loads you up with extra work or distracts you from what your top five priorities are. And you'll find there are a lot of things that can potentially distract you and load you up. And at work, often your boss is the person who can be the worst case in this sort of scenario, who can be giving you consistently extra work. So this system needs to be able to help you to be able to push back so that you know that you can focus in on your top priorities because you know exactly what they are. In this system, you need to, in step five, think about your planning in a weekly sense. The very minimum, you need to be planning weekly, not daily. If you plan daily, things will get out of control very quickly. So you need to plan weekly, and you need to connect your weekly plan to 30, 60, and 90 day objectives, and then preferably connect that into your yearly goals and longer term goals. Step number six, you need to be able to see your weekly plan in a visual sense so that you get an idea of your plan, but not only your plan, of your actual time capacity, how much time you have got available, and to be able to represent that visually so that you can see the time that's available for all the things that you want to get done as your top priorities. Where are your top priorities going to fit into that particular week? And what you want to have is an ideal weekly structure with your capacity, and then you want to adapt that to any given week. Step number eight, Step number seven, you want to be able to, the system needs to help you to let go of the tasks that you know that you can't fit in, so that you can be okay with all of those things that you won't get done. So it's a process of acknowledging what won't get done and emotionally tuning in and being okay with the fact that a lot of those things won't get done. Step number eight, you need to be able to change your old habits and be able to stick to the new habits of your 21st century time management mindset. So it's human nature for people to fall back into habits that they've had for years and years, and they fall back into a comfort zone. Now, just because it's our comfort zone and our habits doesn't mean that it's the most effective way to operate. But when things get busy, or when you get sick, or when something happens that throws you out of using the new techniques, you can very easily fall back into the old habits. So this approach must be able to help you to change the habits and support you from falling back into the old ineffective habits. Step number 9, you need to be able to identify your energy patterns, the ups and downs with your energy, and also have a look at how you recover if your energy is depleted. This is really drawing on information from elite athletes and Olympic athletes and how they go about their training to make sure they are in peak performance. So you want to have times when you recognize that your energy is at its peak so that you can do the most important tasks when your energy is at its highest, and you can balance off other tasks when your energy is a little bit lower, and you also know what to do to recover your energy and refresh as quickly as possible. Step number 10, the system needs to allow you to keep some sort of balance in your life and not just focus on getting everything done at work. That's another aspect that I noticed about many of the time management systems. They seem to be quite focused on helping you get a lot of your tasks done at work, and it's only rarely that they try and help you to actually put in place something that's going to keep balance. Now, they talk about the idea often of work-life balance, and they might get you to do a little activity that shows you that your life's out of balance. And I'm sure that was a huge insight to most people who do it. My clients tell me, yeah, so I did the Wheel of Life and it told me I was out of balance. I didn't need to do that activity to tell them that. But it doesn't necessarily help them to work out how to get some balance into their life. So your system here, 21st century approach, needs to help you to get that balance in your life. Step number 11, it needs to have a way for you to get back on track easily if you start to slip. Again, it's human nature. As we're trying new things and building new habits, you might slip back. There are things that'll be a bit different, so that's a little bit uncomfortable, right? And it's pretty easy for us to start to slip back into our old ways. So the system, the approach to be effective, it's got to be pretty easy to jump back on board and get focused again on what is going to help you be more effective and to help you to tune into why you should go back to using this new 21st century time management approach. Number 12, the system ideally needs to be able to help you to understand your own personality style and your learning preferences. And so you can fine-tune and tailor the system so that it can suit your style. So it needs to be flexible enough to adapt to who you are and your style. And again, that's something that we don't notice in many of the other time management systems. Typically, most time management systems have been developed by someone who's a time management expert because they get so much done, and here is the expert way of going about it. And it simply does not fit the average person in what they're doing in their work and family life. And finally, step number 13, you need to be able to use and maintain this system in as little as 30 minutes a week up to a maximum of 90 minutes a week. And certainly the people that I've taken through this program, once you get up and running after a couple of months, then you will be able to operate using this system on about 30 to 45 minutes a week, and using all of this process and setting up the system using all of these steps, you will cut hours and hours off your work week and still achieve amazing results. Now, there's so much more that I'd like to share with you, but I'm just about to run out of time. Before I finish, though, I would like to quickly take you through the 7 secrets that help you cut 6.5 hours off your work week and still give you a pay rise. These 7 secrets are the basis for a 21st century time management system. So here's a quick overview of the 7 secrets and what you will get to see in the weekly videos that I will send out to you. Secret number one, the biggest trap that business people fall into and how it causes major stress. One of the activities that I do really early in working with my clients in my workshops is I get people to think about how much they're trying to do this week. How much have you got on this week? So just take a minute to think about that yourself. What are all the things that you're trying to fit in this week? Then what I do is that I get them to write out this list and have an estimate as to how much time they think that would take, and then take out a weekly template, Monday through Sunday, and I say, now, of all of those tasks that you've got, see how and where you would fit them into your week. And what do you think happens? Almost invariably, for over 99% of the people that do this activity, they have far too much that they're trying to fit in. Often people have 3 and 4 weeks worth of work that they think they can fit into 1 week. I mean, no wonder that we can't get everything done. And this is how our brain sets us up for failure in a time management sense. And it causes massive stress because we have this sense that there are all these things in our head or on our to-do list and we need to get them all done. But we don't work through this idea of what can we actually fit in? What is our capacity? So the number one secret. So secret number one is the big trap that people fall into at work is trying to get far too much done in the time that's available. And in the video that I'll send out to you, we will look at a simple test so you can know whether something is a project that you should be focusing on. We'll look at 11 of the most irritating time wasters. And we'll talk more about how time causes stress and how our perception of how many things that we should get done in a certain period of time causes huge stress for us and is not really based in reality. Secret number two. Why your brain is programmed to procrastinate and how to rewire it. We're actually naturally programmed to procrastinate in the sense that naturally our brain works to avoid things that we think are hard or difficult or might cause us stress. In simple terms, it's our fight and flight mechanism. If there's a task that we perceive, might not even be real, but if we perceive that it will cause us stress or fear or it's difficult for us, then what our brain does subconsciously is it tries to avoid that situation. It tries to avoid the anxiety or the fear or the stress. That's a natural inbuilt response. But of course, that leads to procrastination. So in order to overcome procrastination, we need to understand this is how our brain is wired. And we need to look at the idea, how do we rewire it so that we can overcome procrastination, so that we can move forward with tasks that might be a bit nervous for us. They might seem large, and so they bring about fear, but we can move forward anyway. And in this video, in secret number two, we will talk about how to rewire your brain. We will talk about how to install a little belief and it will transform your approach to these tasks that you might now procrastinate on. Another factor is people procrastinate because they have this need for perfection. They have a need to get things right and to get a lot of detail and information associated with the task that they're looking at. So we'll look at how to overcome this need for perfection and getting stuck in the idea of perfectionism and still be able to produce the results and the quality that you would like to produce. Your brain is naturally programmed to procrastinate, but there are key things that you can do to rewire that to make you much more effective. And we can also look at the idea of how to help you procrastinate on actual tasks that aren't really important. so we can use procrastination in a different way. Secret number 3, how your to-do list creates overwhelm and massive stress. A to-do list seems to be the way that most people start out trying to be more effective and having some sort of time management approach. And initially, creating a list seems like the right thing to do. And also for most people, the first time they create a list, it seems to work quite well. Unfortunately, it quickly goes in the wrong direction. And in our modern society, with so much data and so many interruptions and so many expectations, a to-do list quickly gets out of control. And this creates overwhelm and it's a huge, massive source of stress. Let me tell you a quick story about one client. Rhonda had started the idea of being much more organized and wanted to be much more effective. So she created a to-do list in her role as a senior manager in an organization. And for the first week or so, the to-do list really helped her. It got information out of her head that she was planning to do and put it onto a list. And she started to get those things done. But by the end of the first week, the list was rather long. By the end of the second week, it was very long. And by the end of the fourth week, she couldn't even bear to look at it. The list was so long that it caused huge amount of stress. And this is where a to-do list actually works against you. So what happened with Rhonda is that by week 4, she didn't even want to look at the list. She'd stopped using the list and eventually she actually threw away the idea of a list and all ideas about being more effective from a time management approach. She took on board the idea, those time management systems, they're not for someone like me. They're for anal, detail-orientated people. And that's not something that I can do. Well, we were able to help Rhonda by using these 7 secrets that we're talking about here to create a time management system that works in the current environment. And one of the main things for Rhonda to focus on was to get away from a big, long, huge list of all the things that she needs to do. The to-do list actually was wasting time. It can waste, I've seen, up to 10 hours and more per week, because it causes that stress and then causes people to procrastinate. Not only that, but it typically is a list of things and they go on the list and as they come up into your mind. So it's not necessarily something that creates the most effective use of your time. And it typically hasn't gone through a whole lot of prioritization. It's a big, long list. And it's a list of things, some are very large projects, some are small tasks. And it starts to get you actually confused. You look at the list and you say, okay, I've got all these things to do, but what is it that I've got to do next? And as the list gets longer and longer, that only makes you more and more confused and gives you a sense of being out of control. So in secret number 4, we'll talk about what's the alternative. The first thing to do is to throw away the to-do list and then to start looking at planning in a whole different light, in a much bigger format in terms of time, starting with a week, but in a much easier to use sense of being able to know exactly what to do next and what to do at any given point in time. Secret number 4. What one change will give you at least 5 extra hours a week free time? And it flows directly on from secret number 3 about throwing out your to-do list. And secret number 4 is about moving to a weekly based planning approach. And not only that, it's about looking at all of the things that you have on. You see, one of the key problems that we find with most people today as they try and be more effective is that they have got all of their commitments in multiple places. Sometimes I call this multiple diary disorder. People have post-it notes and they have diaries on their computer and they have diaries on their computer at work and at home and they have diaries on their phone and then their partners or family have different diaries and there's all of these elements of your life that seem to be all separated into different places. So it's very, very difficult to start to work out how much you can fit in, what fits in where, and what it is that you should be doing at any given point in time. By bringing together this hole-in-one weekly planning approach, we've seen people cut hours off each day, 1, 2, and 3 hours off their working day. We've also seen how it cuts a huge amount of the tasks that people think that they have to do by making them more focused on what they can see needs to get done in a certain block of time. It helps people to step back and look from a planning approach rather than a bit-by-bit task approach. And in this video, we'll show you how to create this weekly planning structure that helps you to be much more effective, cut those tasks off your week, and still achieve better results. Secret number 5, how to overcome the number one block that stops you from being in control of your time. Now, many people would think, yes, that's probably something like my boss or my email or all the interruptions that I get. Well, those things certainly play a part. But the number one block that stops you from being in control of your time is actually you and your thinking processes and your habits. You see, your subconscious has a huge part in this, and how your subconscious fear actually probably wastes at least an hour a day where you get confused or not focused on what's happening. And that fear actually sends us back into what we're comfortable with and the habits and techniques and approaches that we've used in the past, even though they typically haven't worked. We'll look at in this area how to help you achieve and do the tasks that you absolutely hate doing, what mindset to put yourself in so that you can approach and overcome the blocks to doing these tasks and actually get them done, because it has a huge impact on the results that you want to achieve. And we'll also talk about the most important goal setting step that I find in our goal achievement program that most people don't even know about. And we'll include that, because without that step, there's what I call these invisible barriers to enabling you to achieve your goals. And that has a huge impact on wasting lots and lots of time working down towards what you think is the right path to go down towards a goal, but perhaps it's not. And we will introduce you to that number one important goal setting step that most people don't know about in secret number 5. Secret number 6. What one topic is left out of most time management programs? This topic is actually something that's hugely important for our personal effectiveness, and it's something that I've picked up on from working with elite sports people and seeing how they make sure that they're highly effective and highly productive and at the top of their game as much as possible. And this is all about energy and recovery. You see, at work, I believe that we start off each day, each week, even when we start off the year, like we're going at a 100-meter sprint, and we try and get in and do things really fast and really hard. But we don't realize that it's more like an ultra marathon. And so our energy, how we manage our energy, doesn't really come into play. But we keep trying to sprint, and in the end, we're only moving in a very, very slow pace. One of my clients just recently, he said this idea reminded him of being on his bike. And sometimes when he's on his bike and it's the end of the ride and he's feeling quite tired, and he puts his bike into a lower gear and his legs are moving a million miles an hour, but because he's in a very low gear, he's actually not traveling very fast. And sometimes that's what he feels like at work. And this is what happens when we don't manage our energy. And I've seen in our clients, and I believe very strongly, that there's certain points for certain people where their energy is higher than at other times. And I also believe that we need to really look at the levels of our energy and what we need to do to refresh and recuperate and build up our energy rather than letting it drain away all the time. It's critical that our energy is high when we want to work on high priority, really important tasks. And so this is something that's really important to think about when we're using our time effectiveness system. And that's what we'll look at in the video on secret number 6, how do you manage your energy in relation to your time management so that you have lots of energy when you need it for the highest priority tasks. And when you do that, you can get these things done in a quarter of the time. Imagine a task that normally takes you 2 or 3 hours only taking you 30 to 60 minutes. That's what can happen when you are managing your energy appropriately and you're doing the task when your energy is at the highest level for that task. Secret number 7. The key ingredient all successful people use to achieve amazing results. What we'll look at in this video is how to use this ingredient to take control of your time and your life. See, I personally believe that time mastery is life mastery. Once you start to learn how to use your time on the things that are most important to you and have the appropriate energy to give to those things at the right time, then your whole life starts to change. Today, with the massive amounts of information and interruptions that we have, using our time well is the key to creating the life that we want. What this key ingredient is what I call aim, fire, ready. And what that means is that we need to spend a little bit of time making sure that we've got a reasonable aim on what we want to spend our time on and what we want to focus on. But then we actually need to make sure that we get up and we start doing it. So we fire, we take action, we get moving. Without waiting to check to see if we're 100% ready. And then we check in afterwards to see what has worked for us. This approach enables you to start moving in the new direction, and it builds on and it uses all of the things that we've talked about in the previous secrets in those videos. It helps you to bring them all together and to make a start, because this is about doing things differently. You are going to look at a different method of planning and prioritizing. You're going to have to let go of a lot of things that you thought that you should be doing. But really, you've now worked out they're not things that are highly important. You have now worked out that in life today, there's a whole lot of things that just aren't going to get done. And now is about changing your approach so that you can get used to that and feel more comfortable with that. It's understandable that you won't feel comfortable with that right at the start. So if you wait until you feel comfortable, or if you wait until you think everything's perfect to use this sort of a system, then you'll be waiting forever. So it's about getting a bit of an aim as to how you're going to start, and then getting started and starting to put this in place and maintaining the approach for some time, even though it feels a little bit uncomfortable. As we've talked about in the previous videos, it's about changing your old habits, and that takes you a bit out of your comfort zone. So putting this in place is about getting started and maintaining and recognizing it might not work perfectly to start with, but it's something that you will build on, and once you get it in place over a few weeks, then it will certainly make a massive difference to your life. It only takes a small amount of time each week to start to put this in place, and the benefits that you will receive from it will be amazing. Even though it feels uncomfortable to start with, by putting these things in action, by using the aim, fire, ready approach, you will start to feel a sense of satisfaction that you perhaps haven't felt for a long time. One of the things that my clients tell me when they have got so much to do is that they get to the end of a day and they sometimes don't even remember what they've done, and they certainly don't often feel a sense of achievement. But once you start to put this approach in place, you will start to feel a real sense of satisfaction from getting some really key things done that are important to you in your life. And you will start to feel a sense of satisfaction of getting some sort of balance and control in your life, rather than feeling like it's all out of control and you can't see a way out of where you are at the moment. On top of the videos from these 7 secrets, you will also get some bonus sessions. I have included a couple of extra bonus sessions based on special requests from some of my clients. And these 2 sessions are how to get control of your inbox and kick your email addiction. Now, email is a massive problem today. People get so many hundreds and hundreds of emails every day, and it really significantly reduces your effectiveness and productivity. So we'll talk about how to approach that and how to incorporate that into the seven secrets that we've just spoken about and make sure that you are highly effective. This involves a different way of thinking about email. So again, it will involve something that's different habits and doing something differently from the way you're probably doing them now, but it has a huge impact on your email and how you go about being effective and letting go of your email controlling you and using it as a tool that actually helps you to be more effective. And the second bonus session is how to reduce your interruptions by at least 50%. Again, interruptions are a massive factor that eats up and chews up our time. So I'll spend a bonus session talking about all the different types of interruptions that people experience and that they've asked me about, and I'll go through explaining how you can help to overcome those interruptions so they don't have such a huge impact on your week and steal away sometimes up to 50% of your time in a week, meaning that you don't get the things done, even the ones that are highly important for you. So those two bonus sessions again, how to get control of your inbox and kick your email addiction, and how to reduce your interruptions by 50%. Thank you for your interest in the seven secrets to cut 6.5 hours off your work week and get a pay rise at the same time. I hope you have enjoyed this audio as much as all of my other clients have. You've found valuable the free secret and the introduction to the seven secrets today. Thank you for taking up the $1 trial. Please look out for the email that will introduce you to the video on the secret number one, which is the biggest trap business people fall into and how it causes major stress. And in that video, you will find out how to get 4 weeks worth of work done in just 1 week. Thank you again for your time, and I look forward to seeing you through the email very shortly.